I'm staying tonight. I gotta be like, oh baby, no baby, you got me all wrong, baby. My baby's already got all of my love. So no, no, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should not. I got somebody at home, and if I stay, I might not leave alone. No, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should not. I gotta bid you adieu to another. I will stay true.
That's a little younger for you old people, but it's Andy Grammer, and he's not an English teacher. He's not an English teacher, but honey, I'm good, and it's all about I'm sticking with you, and it's kind of cool song. Good morning. There are so many stories. I was standing back there watching the choir, and I think of Amy, and she's moving soon, and Brian. I know. What a way to start and encourage your day. I think of June and his wife, and they have their own story beautifully. And then Tammy, and boy, stand up here, honoring Jesus, showing up early, and living through tough stuff. Those of you that know her story, with the man that she deeply loved going to heaven a year or so ago. And then Kenny, he's got his own package. You got a half hour? You got a half hour. You knew I was going there. Tonight is communion at 6 o'clock. You're welcome to come following the end of the Masters. So we will be ready because they can't play at 9 o'clock in Georgia. So you be sure that I'll be here if it's really long. So also, CR is having their two-year anniversary in April. Yeah, very cool. April 21st, and they're going to have, it's going to be a special night. It's kind of a visitor night that visitors aren't always welcome, but there's going to be a taco truck here and a grilled cheese here. Really, y'all need CR is the message. No, I'm just kidding, but sort of. I hear about it. I go every once in a while when I hear a testimony, I think, maybe I should be here. And then I go, you know. Who's not in denial a little bit, all right? But it's going to start at 5:30 on April 21st. You'll hear more about it. But they're going to celebrate what God has done and what God is doing, and kind of tell their story in a beautiful way. And their theme is going to be Got Baggage. And I'm thinking, let me see, how much baggage do I have? And everyone comes with baggage. Find someone who loves you enough to help you unpack. Huh? What a great thought. So come in here about CR. If it's not right for you, that's cool. But maybe it's right for somebody you know. And when you've been there, and when you've visited and supported, it's a lot easier to bring somebody back. And at some point, you're going to run into somebody that needs a little help, needs a little encouragement, needs to get their life right. So again, back to the Masters, because we want to talk about important stuff here today before we get going. I don't know whether you want Jordan or Ricky or some other guy from a foreign country. I don't know who you want to win, but I'd love for Jordan... You know, having a 9, which doesn't mean a lot to a whole bunch of you the first day, but nobody's ever won the Masters with a 9 on their card. So I love history, and I like that boy. I like who he is. I like who he's becoming. And if I had another daughter left, I'd like him to marry her. But that's another story. That's another story. So, but even for non-golf fans, just to turn that on and watch the majesticness of that course, and the quiet tones, and the respect that the golfers are given with silence, with thousands there. And I just the thing captivates me. You know, I tried to study yesterday during the Masters, and I kept going, whoa, it's been a half hour since I looked at my notes. So if the message is weak today, you know why. Because we're into transparency in this place, so... Today's theme is sacrifice isn't to be public. It isn't to be public. It's the same theme we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, and you're going to see some repetitiveness in Jesus' words. But I think if somehow you capture this, something happens in your life. You are less tempted to live for the wrong things, to want to be seen, to want to be viewed in a way that makes you extraordinary. All of us have this longing to be significant, to dream on whatever level we do. And it can mess us up as we watch other people move ahead, maybe with some improper motives or some grabbing of attention. And Jesus is trying to get to the heart of the matter of our life here in these three topics that he's been talking about, today being the third, as you'll see. But you don't want to listen to or submit to unwanted advice. And it's so easy to do that. And as we move through what he talks about today, just don't be afraid to think about your own life and say, where have I gone wrong here? Where have I gone down the wrong path here and haven't locked on to these words of Jesus? And is there a possibility that they can have more impact on us than they have in the past, these specific ones? So speaking of unwanted advice, a doctor goes to a party one night and sees one of his patients out on the dance floor with a beautiful woman, and he's a little bit surprised. The doctor goes up to his patient and asks, what are you doing? You know, like only a doctor could do. It's right in his face. Patient responded, I'm just following your advice. What advice? The doctor replied. You told me to find a hot mama and be cheerful. That's what you said to me. Doctor looked at him with disbelief, and that's not what I said. What I said to you was that you have a heart murmur and you need to be careful. Sometimes we hear what we want. Gotcha, boys. Sometimes we hear what we want. And somehow, if you can just slow your roll, pause the train in your life, and just begin to listen to the words of Jesus and try to take them aboard in whatever way you can, things really get better. Just to believe that fact as you inch along in life, trying to grow, trying to build this thing called relationship with Jesus, trying to fall in love with him for real. Boy, to understand that, to not hear what you want, but to hear what he really said. So let's pray. Lord, thanks that we can be together. Thank you for good days where you are honored in song and in the hearts of people. And we pray that today that we would listen to you well, that we wouldn't make things up, that we wouldn't try to fill in between the words what we really want, but that we just listen to you. Jesus, we welcome you into this room. I pray that you would touch each of our lives and make a difference and help us to have the right desires, to build the right motives as we listen to your words. I pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series that's built out of Matthew 28:19, and it's where Jesus tells his men to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he says, and teach them all that I have commanded you, all of it. In order to teach somebody something, obviously, we got to know it. Matter of fact, for the guys in the room and some of you gals that maybe play golf, I learned something this weekend watching the Masters. My golf game is so horrible, but it's still the thought of it. But there's this guy named Rom that comes from Europe. Big guy, big fella, 22 years old. He's won a tournament, maybe two, done really well. And he's kind of up on the leaderboard. And this is the first time ever playing. Freddie won, couples won when he was not born. But that's another story he played. But his backswing only goes back three quarters. He's a big dude. Because you know that our average golfers, when you go all the way back here, you just get all sideways. Men, just go here. Just go through. Play the old man game. Piano was in my way. Now, what I just taught you, you got to know it to teach it. It's the same with Jesus' commands. If you don't know them, you can't teach them. You just can't. So that's what we're focused on. Today, we're going to look at the 12th command of Jesus. And the last few weeks, we've talked about commitment concerning giving and prayer. Those of you that have been here, command 9 was to not be a show-off, based on Matthew 6:1 that we'll talk about in a minute. Don't practice your righteousness in front of other people. Don't do that. Be careful, Jesus says. Command 10 was giving as a private matter. It's about you and God and nobody else. It's nobody's business. And the idea there was to learn to give in secret. And Command 12 is about fasting. And I put /sacrifice because that's what fasting is. That's what it represents. The command is sacrifice isn't to be public. And you're going to see the same words as Jesus has talked about in the last two sessions, just repeated. And he's really trying to get your attention. You know, great teachers talk about review, review, review. Like with real estate, location, location, location. We get that in the South Bay. And he's trying to review to try to get our attention that you need to look at life differently. Well, Jesus wants us to be living sacrificial, but silent about it. And the idea there is to make good choices, do it for the right reasons, and don't live to impress. Do not do that. Our subject matter started in Matthew 6, 1. I know I'm repeating, but you'll be all right. If somebody's new, we're just being nice to the new people, okay? He says this, be careful. Careful means to beware. Something that might cause trouble in your life is about to be talked about. To take hold of something, to learn something. He says, be careful, fellas and gals, to not practice your righteousness, acts of religious devotion, in front of others. Don't do drama class in front of other people. Don't do it. To be seen by them, living in a fake way that isn't real. You know it. They don't know it. You may be faking them out for a while, but in time, everybody figures it out. If you do, if you live your righteousness out in a public way that is fake, you will have no reward. You're not in sync with the Father. From your Father who is in heaven. Jesus says, don't show off. Don't live that kind of life. Be real. Be authentic, even when and if you fail. Don't be afraid. So Jesus starts out his next point in the Sermon on the Mount, which we're kind of working through, where he gave his first commands to the guys and us by saying, number one, showing off commitment, or you could use the word sacrifice, or you could use the word fasting, as you'll see today. Showing off commitment, it's a no-no. You do understand no other pastor in the planet says no, no. Sorry. You'll be all right. I really am a simple man, all right? So he jumps right back into this idea that people can live for the wrong reasons. I mean, just take that thought alone to ask yourself the question, am I living for the right reasons? Am I motivated in the right way? Am I doing what I do for the right reasons? That's number one, the attention he's trying to get from us here, loud and clear. Many see life as a big show, a competition, a contest, if you will. Thus, they want some kind of fame. That's what's going on back here with the religious leaders. That's what he's attacking. And they're in the back of the group while the Sermon on the Mount is being presented. Like this. Ticked off. Can't believe what he's saying. Already strategizing to kill him early on in his ministry. People want to be above others. They want to be admired by other people. And the question is, as you read Jesus' words, what good is that really? Why would I want to live my life motivated by that? Which is natural. I mean, we live in a world that everybody wants hits and likes and more followers. So what are we talking about? Well, look at Matthew 6, 16. Let's jump in this stuff. He says, when... And the idea here is fast, and whenever you apply this discipline to your life, speaking specifically about fasting, this is not a command that he's laying out here. Fasting is not commanded. It's an option that some people employ and others don't. But if and when you do it, there are some no-nos. All right? He says, when you fast, fast means to not eat. Derek Johnson asks us to fast every year. I did it one time and said, maybe I'm not doing this again. It's like 7 days long, and I'm thinking, are you serious? This body was not built to go 7 days with just that little protein shake. And that's really not fasting, I guess. But it means not to eat, to abstain from food, to pull away from it. We all know that. We understand that. And many Pharisees fasted twice a week. Regularly, it's what they did. And the second and the fifth day of the week. And those days were chosen because Moses made two separate trips to receive the tablets from God on Mount Sinai. That also happened to be the days that the markets were open and they would have the largest audience that they could have if they fasted that day and went out into public. Interesting. The mind of man, the way it can work, the way it can strategize to be special and to try to be bigger than life. Well, I'll have to watch this. Jesus says, be careful. Jim, be careful what you really want, why you do what you do. He says, do not look somber if you choose to fast. And the idea of somber is gloomy, suffering, subdued, dull. You make a choice to fast unto God out of discipline, to get close to Him, to pray to Him, to tell Him that you love Him in that disciplined way. He says, don't be somber as the hypocrites do. And we've been talking about hypocrites. The religious leaders did this regularly, some of them weekly, twice a week, to show off their perceived dedication and commitment to their God so that others would follow them. Look, I'm awesome, so I can give you awesomeness. They didn't say that, but you get the point. He goes on to say, for they disfigure their faces. Interesting. The idea here is they neglect their appearance. They wear old clothes, mess up their own hair. Some put ashes on their body as religious zealots that were awesome and able to lead the folks. For they disfigure their face. He's talking about what they do. And this is drama 101. To show others they are fasting. We ask the question, who's their real audience? It's not God, it's other people. Look at me. Look at what I do. And this was their goal, to be seen by others as God followers, showing off, again, some kind of perceived righteousness in their life to other people. And as we saw the last few weeks, hypocrite comes from the Greek word mask. Oftentimes, they would do a show, and they'd have two masks or more. And they'd put one mask on and be a certain actor. They'd step over here, and they'd put another mask on. It was a different color and a different look. They use theatrics to look sacrificial is what Jesus is getting at. To become a different person, they'd use these masks as a dramatic tool. They faked what they were doing. That's what these guys are doing. And Jesus is trying to get our attention and say, Jim, friends, do not ever fake spirituality. It's not the path I want you on. And anybody can get sucked into it. They were fasting, and when they're fasting, it was a sham to them. It was a game. Be careful what you're living for is what Jesus is getting to. If it's just to be viewed as committed by fasting in a public way or trying to be committed publicly in some way, it may just be a show you're putting on. And Jesus is trying to tell us here loud and clear, if we're willing to listen, be careful what you're living for. It really does matter in your life. Number two, public sacrifice, which we're talking about today, is already rewarded. Jesus tells them, you have achieved your goal, those of you that are publicly sacrificing. They got what they wanted. Those who show off their perceived godliness in a public way, brag about their commitments, fast only to be seen. Look what he says in verse 16. These same words in verse 6 that we saw a few weeks back. Truly I tell you, they, those who fasted to be seen and heard and witnessed, have received their reward in full. They get what's coming to them. They get the honor of man because they did what they did. They showed off. They wanted to be seen, and they were. And based on being seen, it's like, yeah, it's like their touchdown. He says they have received their reward in full. They get what's coming to them. The reward of man, not the reward of God. This is exactly what he talked about the last 2 weeks. It's the same thing for giving in prayer. If you're doing it in public, just for public, you get nothing. You get zero from God. These actors are hypocrites. They were all about themselves. So if you know that there's a big part of your life that sort of leans this way, now I'm not going to ask you to come up here today if that's you. They were all about themselves. And sometimes it's hard to step away from self because self matters. We got to take care of me. Or, you know, but they were about themselves. They wanted to be seen, respected. They wanted to be significant. And if you can ever conclude in your life that my greatest significance is my individual relationship with God Almighty, God the Father, through Jesus, his Son, that is the most significant thing in my life. If you ever conclude that, you relax away the pressure, that angst that's in life about does somebody like me or not. It's pulverized. Because God loves you no matter what. Their public display reached their goal, and that was to be seen by men. People saw them and apparently were impressed. I mean, they were the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Jesus blows their cover here. You have your reward, and you got it in full. This is all you get. Nothing else comes your way. That's what he says. And I mean, I'm telling you, these last 3 weeks, they have low-level rocked my world. I don't know about you. Studying for this stuff is not always fun, I just want to tell you. Jesus tells everyone during the Sermon on the Mount here, number three, literally hide your sacrifice. That's what he's going to tell you. Hide it. Hide it. He not only don't show off, but hide your fasting, your sacrifices to me. Hide them. And you think, Jim, what are you talking about? He tells us, he says, look, Jim, I want you to live, every one of us in this room, in a devoted way. It's smart when you do. I want you to live in a sacrificial way. I want you to be willing to fast if needed in life, because that's the specific topic here. I want you to give in private. I want you to talk to me regularly, privately. Shut the door. Shut the door. And Jim, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. It's about me and you. Don't even tell your wife or your husband. It's about me and you. You build that kind of relationship and you live on a different level when it comes to peace, when it comes to joy. He says even hide it. How do we know this? Look at, I'm not making this up. You know that, right? Verse 17. But when you fast, fasting is mentioned 30 times in the New Testament and mostly favorably. So it can be a beautiful thing. Fasting can take on a lot. Some people are really into it. And I say, God bless you, go. Matter of fact, we bought a box of these things. It was on Shark Tank. Don't ever buy anything from Shark Tank. I tried to buy one of Debbie Cakes. It's like $80. They were sold out for 3 months. But I wanted that carrot cake. I'm a mark. But these guys made these. We actually bought a box, and I meant to bring some in. I forget what it was called. Sandy bought it because I asked her to, so it's on me, not her. But they're little squares, and they're cappuccino and coffee, and they're these Silicon Valley guys that made these up, and they're really high in caffeine and high in amino acids, and their goal is to try to work 24 hours at a time because they're on the cutting edge of life and wealth, and you know they're in Silicon Valley doing their thing. So they wanted to make these tablets that could make you not Superman, but keep you going without eating. They don't work. I just want you to know they don't work. I've got some for sale if you want some. I've got some for cheap, baby. You do get a little wired when you eat some, though. I'm telling you, your eyebrows move up. But, you know, fasting, I've seen some people lose somebody they loved in a tragic way, and they immediately kind of go into a fast. Everybody brings food. They don't want any food. I saw a guy lose 25 pounds one time, and he kind of needed to, but that's okay because he was so hurt by his wife, so deeply hurt. Fasting comes in all different sizes and flavors. He says, but when you fast, it's a normal thing. He says, it's what Jesus wants you to do. This is the command right here, command 12, if you will. He says, put oil on your head. For me, it's not oil. It's some product that my daughter gave me. So my hair kind of stands up. Not much. There's not much left. I understand. But he's saying, fix your hair. Fix your hair. That's what Jesus says. This is your command if you're going to fast. And wash your face. This is talking about good grooming. Shave, dude. That three-day thing, it's not as cool as you think. Go ahead. Go with it if you want. When it turns gray, you'll get it off your face sooner. You know what he's saying right here is, ladies, put some makeup on. He's saying, look your best right here. If you're going to be devoted to me, if you're going to sacrifice something to me, don't let anybody else know. It's your secret between me and you. Me and you, GTF, God the Father. Me and you. Wash your face. Why would I do that, Jesus? So that it will not be obvious. It won't be obvious you're fasting. And what he's saying here is hide what you're doing. Hide what you're sacrificing. Your sacrifice isn't a public thing. It's not about that. It's totally between you and me alone. Don't try to impress others ever with your commitment. That's not your role. That's not your job. We don't want people to become like you if that's what you're doing. The last thing we want people to do is become like the Pharisees, thinking somehow in your display of righteousness that you're better than others. Jesus is telling them and us, when you're fasting, do all you can to look normal, healthy, upright. Even if you have to get some little caffeine. No, I'm just kidding. Hiding what you're doing. And he goes on in verse 17, do all this so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting. You're hiding something. You're hiding your sacrifice and your commitment to God. We think oftentimes we drag people into our vortex when we tell them how awesome we've been with God in one way or another. That's not Jesus' method. Jesus says you serve people, you love people, you show up when you need to show up. You have small touches in life. Terry's daughter, Rachel, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, had some high-level gymnastics. And his wife, Billy, texted me this morning and said, Jim, maybe it was a group text and all you got it too. I don't know, but it was for me. And she said, Rachel has a big meet at 3 o'clock today, and it really matters. And this week, she was doing an exercise, and she dislocated her finger, and it really hurts. Could you pray for her? And I just texted back. I said, yeah, you got it. So I have to pause the Masters. There's a little sacrifice involved, and I just lost all my reward by telling you that. The little touches of love when you care. You could say I love you so many different ways. That's Jesus' method. Go to great lengths. What he's saying here about so that it won't be obvious to others that you're fasting, he says don't wear a t-shirt that says BTW, I'm fasting right now. Goofball, idiot, that's a little strong. Go to great lengths is what Jesus is saying to keep your fasting, your sacrifices, your commitments not public, not known, private. Just do it. The closeness that you will gain with Jesus as your friend, as a lover in your life, will become obvious, not because of your words, but because of who you become. You go to great lengths to touch and love other people. When we do something good, something positive that involves sacrifice, we want others to know, right? And we're talking about deep stuff right here. Part of it is because all of us bear some shame from the past. And getting rid of shame is a weird deal. Read Daring Greatly if you like. It'll help you in that area. But when we do something good and positive that's sacrificial, we want to be viewed by other people as successful. It's a normal human trait. We want others to know what we've done. Come on, look what I did. Jesus said loud and clear, be careful here. Be careful. Do good. Do what you do. what you're gifted at. Accomplish what you can, but do it for me. Do it for me, not to be seen. Not so that other people admire you. Do it for the kingdom. Don't make it about you. And he's speaking in this beautiful way about stop the selfishness. Stop it. The person who's living to please God, Jesus says, know this. Number four, God will see your sacrifice. When you fast, when you sacrifice in some way, when you're living committed to God in some fashion that you choose, keep it to yourself. This is the hardest thing in the world to do. I'm a little irritated by this request, frankly. You think I'm kidding? When you're living something in a serious way, you just love talking about it. And there's certain situations that there can be openness, certainly with close friends, and asking for help. My brother-in-law and I spent a couple of days watching a little bit of the Masters, and he asked me about my message last week and prayer, and he's an inquisitive guy. Greg is an interesting guy. Because he's smarter than me, and that really always bothers me. When I'm with somebody for an extended period of time and they're much smarter than I am, it just irritates me. But we have these good discussions. He's a little bit more educated than I am in terms of theology, but I'm doing it, and I let him know. But he really wanted to hear about the message on prayer last week, and then he throws these questions at me like he's my pastor. And he goes, well, what are you going to do about it? And I almost said, shut up. But I didn't. I'm just saying it was in my brain. Who do you think you are? And I said, I'm not sure. But I've got this little place in my garage that I have a plan. Now I'm putting it out there publicly. Now I'm really messing my reward up. What am I doing? Just messing my whole life up. It's hard to keep things to yourself. And there's times where you've got freedom, but most of the time, just be quiet. Look at what Matthew 6:18 says about our God. So that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. And then he goes on to say, but only to your Father. It'll only be obvious to your Father why you're doing what you're doing. Now think of that in every positive, committed, sacrificial way that you live and you choose. That it's really about my Father and nothing else. You make that kind of decision. Imagine how God feels when we really listen to his words and we respond accordingly. This stuff's hard. And he goes on to say, who is unseen? So when we commit, when we sacrifice, when we serve, when we fast, everything we do unto God, he said, let him know, and only him. He never fails to notice what we do, is the message here. Jesus wants us to know and look forward to whatever sacrifices we make, that he sees them all. Every little one we do, even if nobody else even knows anything about your sacrifice. Which leads us to the last point. Jesus also tells us when we sacrifice, he'll, GTF, God the Father, reward it. And again, we've talked about this last 2 weeks because it's what Jesus says. And when Jesus makes a promise, he keeps it. He follows through. He guarantees it. And when we talk about guaranteeing, all of his authority, all the authority that rests on Jesus stands behind what he promises here. And what that means is it's going to happen. If you're a Jesus follower, you've come to understand that. And this can be a mind blower. This can be a motivational point for you to do what he says. Not just here, but everywhere. Verse 18, Jesus goes on. And he says, and your father, for those of us that follow Jesus, who sees what is done in secret, he understands what you're doing, all of it. He knows why you're doing it. He knows with whom you're doing it. and who you're doing it for will reward you. Your life will benefit. Your life will be blessed. God Himself will repay you for the sacrifice that you make that is private. The term rewarded means your life will be better. Anybody here not want a better life? Stand or forevermore hold your peace. It's not like it's a wedding, right? Your life will be more fruitful. Your life will experience more peace. Your life will be closer to me. Your life will be more full of confidence about me, about heaven. A promise from Jesus Himself, something you can count on. I don't know what you can get today out of this day, but if somehow you can plant yourself on Jesus makes a promise to me that if I don't take my sacrifice public and get the reward of man, that God Himself will see what's done in secret, and He will reward me all day, every day. Powerful, powerful message. Well, what does Jesus teach us? Number one, never brag about sacrifices. That's what He's saying here. Ladies, put some makeup on. Men, please, shave and fix your hair. Praying, giving, fasting, be quiet. Watch your motivations. Be careful. Learn silence and just do the right thing over and over and over again. Nobody needs to know. This is what Jesus is commanding. Sacrifice is not to be a public thing. Not about that ever, ever. Number two, fasting, sacrifice is beneficial. A small point, but it's just true. Learning to live in a dedicated way, in a sacrificial way, in a committed way, fasting or whatever the sacrifice you may choose, is wonderful. It's, as Kenny would say, a beautiful thing. It brings benefit to people when you do, in ways you don't even know. It brings benefit to the kingdom at large, to God Himself. His heart must be touched. He built us the way He is. He's just all-powerful in God, and we're not. But He made us in His image. It brings benefit to you as well. When you know that the little sacrifices of life somehow, some way are going to be repaid. I don't know when, I don't know where, and I really don't care. But Jesus promised it to me. It's coming. Number three, when silent, your rewards await. And silence is a piece of the action here. And I the thought that, why do we often talk so much? Maybe I'm speaking of myself, but why do we share more than we should as humans? I don't have an answer. I'm just throwing it out there. But when you do, your potential reward goes bye-bye. That's what Jesus says. And I get that. I got it loud and clear. Me. Live committed and be quiet. Live sacrificial and go silent. And watch God show up however and whenever He wants. Watch blessings happen that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Watch you, me, us, end up with a rewarded life and not knowing where it came from or how it got here. He never fails to notice what we do and will never fail to reward it. That's what Jesus says. And lock that in. Put that in your brain and then push it down to your heart and say, this is true for me because Jesus said it. Number four and last, following Jesus makes for humility. Listening to Jesus, His commands, His words, His heart, His direction, His leadership is what can produce humility in your life, which if you're smart, you want. It's what makes for a content, satisfied life like nothing else. His words, His commands, His heart, His direction, His leadership is what can take you down that path. You can't figure out humility and then pursue it with all your worth because you'll start getting arrogant about the humility you've achieved. It's like the guy who wrote a book on humility and he had 50 pictures of himself in the book. This is where Jesus is directing us in all these thoughts, to be quiet, to not let your righteousness be out in front of you, to be humble in life before God the Father, before others, with giving, praying, fasting, every sacrifice or commitment you might make. Watch this in closing. This is heavy, I want you to know. I wanted the message to be short so that you could hear this. This is a little bit long. What breaks your heart, really? What is it that really gets the inside of you, makes you sad in your relationship with Jesus, your walk with him, your desire to really follow him? A pastor from Tennessee, he's kind of a famous guy, Scotty Smith. He's going to share with us what breaks his heart. Then I'll pray.
What breaks your heart?
What breaks my heart is how little I get of the gospel. What breaks my heart is that even as someone called to be a steward of the mysteries of Jesus, I believe it and how I'm so filled with unbelief. What breaks my heart is how poorly I love one woman well to the glory of God. What breaks my heart is to realize how easily my heart is tricked into thinking that some other embrace, some other woman, some other job, some other body, some other something will really meet the deepest longings of my heart. It breaks my heart that I'm still an idolater, that functionally I live as an atheist a lot of the time, that even though Jesus has charmed and won my heart with his beauty, I'm still easily seduced. That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that I don't freely look someone in the eye and love them with a sense of security that I know in Jesus, but I'm still afraid of men. Sometimes it breaks my heart that the gaze of men has more power over my life than the gaze of God that now welcomes me in the embrace that I really want. It breaks my heart that some mistress is more than enough for what I think I need when Jesus is the spouse I always wanted. It breaks my heart is to see how we live as Gnostics, how we in the American church live out practical Gnosticism that the church condemned as a heresy centuries ago, that we turn private into a private spa as opposed to realizing, the future of heaven is the absence of all evil and that we are the commissioned ones to live in that story, knowing that truly Jesus has won the day. All kind of stuff break my heart, damn it, why'd you have to ask?
Last question, what's your strategy for love?
My strategy for love is not having a strategy for love. I think my strategy love is increasingly learning how to collapse upon Christ saying, Lord, I'm a moron, I'm a fool, I'm a broken man that has found a home in your heart and love in me, love through me. I throw down my agendas, my formulas, my manipulations, my mechanizations of trying to make life work. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Love in me, love through me. May the kiss of heaven somehow show up in the broken, dark places where you place me.
Lord, thank you that you meet us here and you feed us here. I pray that as we listen and as we do our best to apply what's talked about here, think through our lives, that we just be followers, that we'd step forward and do our best, knowing our best is never perfect, but that we'd bring willing hearts to your words, your wishes, and your commands, and that as you change us, as you bring us along, that we'd be going down the path of humility as well, that it wouldn't be about us, it'd be about you in us. I thank you for the words of this pastor and his honesty, his transparency, and may we all just consider this week, what is it that I sacrifice, that I do for you? And do I keep it quiet or not? Help us just maneuver this hurdle in life well and to be encouraged by it, not defeated. Thank you for truth. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are in our life. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said. By the way, there are three questions at the end of every one of my messages, and I trust every one of you are going home and talking about them, right? Forget about the masters today. You talk about those questions all afternoon. Hey, have a good day.
But if you ask where I'm staying tonight, I gotta be like, oh, baby, no, baby, you got me all wrong.